So this is the talks between the Lord and Ramananda Roya, perhaps the most beautiful chapter of all the writings of Srila Prabhupada. Tumara mukhe Krishna katha shunite hoyamana punara pipai jena tumara darshana. I wish to hear from you about Lord Krishna. This is Lord Chaitanya talking to Ramananda Roya. Indeed, my mind is inclined to desire this. Therefore, I wish to see you again. Then the next verse. Dina pancha shata rahi karaha marjana tabi shudha hoya mora e dushtamana. Ramananda Roya replied, my Lord, although you have come to correct me, a fallen soul, my mind is not yet purified simply by seeing you. Please stay for 5 or 7 days and kindly cleanse my polluted mind. After that much time, my mind will certainly be pure. Jadyapi vicheda donhara sahanana jaya tathapi dandavatkari chalila ramaraya. Although neither could tolerate the other's separation, Ramananda Roya nonetheless offered his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and departed. Prabhu jaya se vipraghari bhiksha kaila dui janara utkantaya ashi sandhya haila. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the house of the Brahmana who had invited him and took his lunch there. When the evening of that day arrived, both Ramananda Roya and the Lord were eager to meet one another again. Now please repeat. Prabhujnana krityakari achena vashiya. Prabhujnana. Prabhujnana krityakari achena vashiya. Eka bricha sangiraya mililashiya. Eka bricha sangiraya mililashiya. Prabhujnana krityakari achena vashiya. Eka bricha sangiraya milila ashiya. Prabhu snana kritya kari achena vashiya.
Eka bricha sangiraya milila ashiya.
Eka bricha sangiraya milila ashiya. Kana krita kari achena vashiya. Eka brita sangiraya milila ashiya. Anybody else? Prabhu, the Lord. Snana kritya, the daily duty of bathing. Kari, finishing. Achena, was. Vashya, sitting. Eka, one. Britya, servant. Shange, with. Raya, Raya Ramananda. Milila, met. Ashya, coming. Please repeat. After finishing his evening bath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and waited for Ramananda Roya to come. Then Ramananda Roya, accompanied by one servant, came to meet him. After finishing his evening bath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and waited for Ramananda Roya to come. Then Ramananda Roya, accompanied by one servant, came to meet him. Purport. A Vaishnava who is supposed to be advanced in his spiritual understanding, be he a householder or a sannyasi, must bathe 3 times a day, morning, noon, and evening. When one is engaged in the service of the deity, he must especially follow the principles of Padma Purana and take regular baths. He should also, after bathing, decorate his body with the 12 tilakas. Jai. After finishing his evening bath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and waited for Ramananda Raya to come. Then Ramananda Raya, accompanied by one servant, came to meet him. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Chinamine. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacari Shatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, this chapter, it's actually an amazing chapter. And I want to give you a review of this chapter before we get to these verses. At the beginning of the chapter explains how Lord Chaitanya, he went on a tour of South India. And the first place he went to is the temple of Sri Jayada Nrisimha in Vishakhapatnam. That is the temple of Sri Jayada Nrisimha. It's a beautiful temple. It's still there. And when he got to the temple and he saw the deities of Lord Nrisimha, the deity of Lord Nrisimhadeva, he offered obeisances to the Lord flat on the floor. This is outside the temple. They don't allow you to take pictures inside the temple. So we don't have pictures of the deity inside. But this is outside. So when he saw the deity, he offered obeisance flat on the floor. And he started chanting prayers, glorifying the deity. And one of the prayers that he chanted was the famous prayer composed by Sridhar Swami that says that although the lion is very ferocious, still the lion is very kind to its cubs. And although Nrisimhadeva is very ferocious to demons like Hiranyakashipu, he is very kind and sweet for devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. So after he sang his prayers, the priest came and gave him a plate of prasadam and a garland. And as it was usual, a brahmana came and invited the Lord to take prasadam at his house. So Lord Chaitanya accepted the invitation. But Lord Chaitanya would accept the invitation only from brahmana Vaishnavas. Because when he was in Benares, many brahmanas came inviting him for lunch and he would not accept. Because they were not Vaishnava Brahmanas. He would give them an excuse. He would say that, "Oh, I already have another commitment. I cannot attend your invitation." Then the next day in the morning, he bathed in Lord Chaitanya. He liked to travel in the morning. He bathed in the morning and he left that place without destination. He just started walking. And after walking for several days, he came to the river Godavari. The river Godavari is one of the longest rivers in India. It's the second longest, actually, second only to the Ganges. And it starts on the west coast near Bombay or Mumbai and crosses India all the way to the Bay of Bengal and lands on the Bay of Bengal. And that circle is the area where Lord Chaitanya arrived at the Godavari River. So when he arrived at the Godavari River, and he saw the river, he remembered the river Jamuna, and he became in ecstasy. And when he saw the forest, he thought that this is the Vrindavan forest. And he started dancing and singing for a long time. And finally, he decided to cross the river Godavari, which is not a little river. In some parts, it's not as wide, but in other parts, here is where the river meets the Bay of Bengal. But in some parts it's very, very wide. So he decided to cross the river. And when he got to the other side of the river, he took his bath in the river at that time, and then he sat down and started chanting Hare Krishna. And while he was chanting Hare Krishna, suddenly this caravan with 1,000 people and many brahmanas come in carrying a gentleman on a palanquin, and there was also a band playing songs. So it was like a big event. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately could see that this person arriving now to take his morning bath is Ramananda Raya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could see that. Then Ramananda Raya comes down from his palanquin and goes to take his bath and also offer oblations to his forefathers. And he noticed the sannyasi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was looking at him, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind was desiring to go and embrace Ramananda Raya. Then after his bath, Ramananda Raya comes and offers obeisances flat on the floor like a rod to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's described by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked brilliant like 100 suns, and he was dressed in saffron garments. And after he offered obeisances on the floor, so just going back here on the slide, you see that the top part, A, is where they met. But Ramananda Raya was the governor of Madras, which is all the way south. It's point B, which is 500 miles south. So it looks like Ramananda Raya had major influence in the entire area, because he was traveling all the way up there, 500 miles north of his place, with 1,000 people following him. So it looks like he was very influential. Lord Chaitanya actually attracted many influential people. Ramananda Raya was working for King Prataparudra. So he wasn't just a small person. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who suggested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, when you go there, meet with Ramananda Raya. Please, meet with him. So they were all very important individuals. They were not just known anybody. So when he meets with the Lord, he offers obeisance on the floor like a rod. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu questioned him, are you Ramananda Raya? And Ramananda Raya says, I am your very low servant, and I come from a Shudra community. That's a very interesting answer, because usually people like to self-glorify them. So if you ask somebody, who are you? I'm so-and-so, I'm from this important family, I have this big job, or I have a Harvard University degree. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu questioned him, who was the governor, and being followed by 1,000 people, and musical instruments, and brahmanas and everything, he says that I am your very low servant, and I come from a Shudra community. That was his answer. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately told him to rise and chant Hare Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. And when they embraced, they almost lost consciousness. They almost lost consciousness. And then, after a few seconds, they fell on the floor. And all symptoms of ecstasy were manifested, like tears, tremblings, paleness. They had all the symptoms on the floor. And the stereotyped, Krishna Das Kaviraja Goswami writes that the stereotyped ritualistic brahmanas, they were thinking, what's happening? How is the sannyasi crying because he embraced a Shudra? Why is he embracing a Shudra? Because normally a sannyasi would not embrace a Shudra. It wasn't something appropriate. And they also thought this Ramananda Raya is the governor of Madras, is such a sober man, how is he crying on the floor? So it was a really unique situation. Can you imagine, like, if Radhanatha Swami meets with Barack Obama and they embrace and falling next is he on the floor, and there's the whole Congress watching them crying and paleness and all symptoms of ecstasy, how they would be thinking, you know? What's going on here? So the same way they were thinking, what's happening here with this two? And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed that the brahmanas were confused, he immediately, it says, Krishna Das Kaviraja Goswami wrote, they recovered their sanity. Use the word their sanity. And that's it's a very important point, because you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was concerned about their opinion. And also when Ramachandra Puri criticized Lord Chaitanya that he was eating too much, he was concerned about that, and he changed his diet. And when Prabhupada was in India and the first devotees arrived and they wanted to do Harinam on the street in Bombay, Prabhupada was concerned about the public opinion. He said, no, don't do it. Here you don't do this. No, we don't preach like this. It's a different method. People will think this, we're just beggars. So this means that we have to be concerned about public opinion. When we go in public and wearing dhoti, sari, we are representing the Hare Krishna movement. So we have to be very concerned. We can't go there, not presented properly. We have to be presentable because people are looking at us and they are judging the Hare Krishna movement based on what they see on us. So after this, they started talking. And Ramananda Raya, first Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ramananda Raya went through great lengths to convince me to come and meet with you. And I came here just to meet with you. And Ramananda Raya said that, my Lord, Ramananda Raya thinks of me as his servant. And he is always trying to do good for me. And that's very interesting. I was looking at the word servant in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. And in the English-American tradition, servant is related to slave. There is the slave master, and there is the slave who is the servant. And usually in this country, you usually don't use the word servant. It has like a bad connotation. A servant is like low, controlled by somebody. But here in this culture, this Vaishnava culture, Ramananda Raya, who was the governor of Madras, such an important person, is telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thinks of me as his servant and he is always trying to do good for me. So like if it's a good thing to be a servant, because the master is always trying to do something good for you. And then Ramananda Raya says that you are brilliant, like 100 suns, and you have all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Your large body, long arms, lotus eyes. When I read this description, large body, large chest, I thought of Japataka Swami, because he's like this, not a big, large body, you know? I thought of him immediately. And then he said that renounced people like you, they go to the house of householders only to give your mercy, just to help them. Although householders are often engaged in materialistic activities, and they may not appreciate, but you go to their house only to give their mercy. So you came here to me just to give me your mercy. You are the most merciful. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he went on and on glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the symptoms of your body and your behavior, no ordinary living entity can have this body and the symptoms. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be like this. And he kept glorifying. And you came here just to save me. No, just to show your mercy to me, you came here. And after glorifying for a long time, there are many verses of glorification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ramananda Raya, you are Maha Bhagavatottama. Maha Bhagavata means the great devotee, the pure devotee. But Maha Bhagavatottama means that you are the best among all the devotees. And Ami Mayavadi Sannyasi. Ami, but as far as myself, I am a Mayavadi Sannyasi. And I'm a known devotee. So I'm not even a devotee. What do we speak? And then he said that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sent me here to meet with you because he knows that I have a very hard heart and he knows that your association would help to soften my heart. So that's very interesting because the servant, the devotee, Ramananda Raya, immediately when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, are you Ramananda Raya? And he said, I am your very low servant and I am from the Shudra community. So he took that attitude. So he set up the tone of the conversation. That I'm your very low servant. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a chance to speak, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed with his tone and said, no, you are Maha Bhagavatottama. You are the best among the devotees. As far as myself, Ami Mayavadi Sannyasi. I'm just a Sannyasi Mayavadi. I'm not even a devotee. Actually, it's written on the verses, I'm not even a devotee. Now, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, seeing that I have such a hard heart, he thought, if I come here and I get your association, then my heart is going to be softened and I'm going to become purified. And that's why I came here. And then a brahmana comes. You see, all these past times, a brahmana comes and he offers invitation. Please, come to my house and have lunch. And in that purport, Prabhupada explains that this was a brahmana Vaishnava. Vaishnavas should not eat food that's not prepared by Vaishnavas. So because this was a brahmana Vaishnava, Lord Chaitanya agreed to his invitation. However, if it was not a Vaishnava brahmana, Lord Chaitanya would have not agreed to the invitation. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that I want very much to hear about the pastimes of Krishna. Then that's where we start here. Now this was the chapter up to this point. That's where we start on verse 50. I wish to hear from you about Lord Krishna. Indeed, my mind is inclined to desire this. Therefore, I wish to see you again. You leave the presentation there because I have more. Then on the next verse, Ramanadaraya replied, my Lord, although you have come here to correct me, a fallen soul, my mind is not yet purified simply by seeing you. Please stay for 5 or 7 days and kindly cleanse my polluted mind. After that much time, my mind will certainly be pure. And the Lord said, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the house of the brahmana who had invited him and took his lunch there. When the evening of that day arrived, both Ramananda Raya and Lord Chaitanya were eager to meet one another. After finishing his evening bath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and waited for Ramananda Raya to come. Then Ramananda Raya, this time not with 1,000 servants, but this time with one servant only, came to see him. And now in the purport, Prabhupada explains about bathing and about tilaka. And I want to cover that. So usually a Vaishnava will bathe 3 times a day. No? It's unlikely that most of us came from cultures that bathed 3 times a day. You know, I'm not going to ask how many times a day you bathed before, but it's unlikely that we came from cultures that bathed 3 times a day. However, this is our standard. And Prabhupada, I'm going to read you a few things here that Prabhupada instructed devotees to do. First, I'm reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, text, chapter 6, text 10. People who are lowest among men and bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord will give up the original Varnashrama Dharma and its rules and regulations. They will abandon bathing 3 times daily and worshipping the Lord. Abandoning cleanliness and neglecting the Supreme Lord, they will accept nonsensical principles. Not regularly bathing or washing their mouths regularly, they will always remain unclean. And they will pluck out their hair. Following a concocted religion, they will flourish. During this age of Kali, people are more inclined to irreligious systems. Consequently, these people will naturally deride Vedic authority, the followers of the Vedic authority, the Brahmanas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the devotees. Now, I did some research on how often people bathe in different places. And it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting. I thought that in most cold countries, they would not bathe often. But Russia is different, according to this research. They bathe quite often, 2 or 3 times a day. And actually, when I was in Moscow some years ago, I met some devotees from the BBT, and they had some archive of old books, old Russian books, hundreds of years old. And in one of them, there was a picture of several people standing, playing a big kartos. And they were dressed in winter clothes. They had some hats and some coats. And there was an altar on the back. You could not distinguish the deities on the altar. But they were definitely doing some kind of kirtan. You know, they're very old. And some time ago also it was discovered in Russia by one archaeologist, a place with many Vedic murtis. There's one of Parashurama and others. So there's really some Vedic influence there, somehow. But also in the documentary from the History Channel called The Lost Temples of India, at the very beginning of the document, it says that when the European explorers arrived in India, they understood that would be a good idea to bathe more than once a year. And one of the places that people bathe the least, according to my research, was England and France. But Rome, they used to bathe quite often in the old Rome. Actually, the government would incentive them to, no, you should bathe. And they had bathing houses where people could go, and it was warm water. They could go and take a bath right there. So here Prabhupada explains on the purport of this verse that I just read, that presently the hippies in the Western countries fit this description. So the verse was saying that they don't bathe three times a day, they are unclean, they don't wash their mouth properly, and they pluck out their hair, and they follow a concocted religion. So Prabhupada explains, they are irresponsible and unregulated. They do not bathe, and they deride the standard Vedic knowledge. They concocted new lifestyles and religions. There are many hippie groups at the present moment, but they all originated from King Arhat. So they originated from King Arhat, who imitated the activities of Lord Rishabhdeva, who was situated on the Paramahansa stage. King Arhat did not care for the fact that although Lord Rishabhadeva acted like a madman, his stool and urine were nonetheless aromatic, so much so that they nicely scented the countryside for miles around. The followers of King Arhat went under the name Jains, and they were later followed by many others, particularly by the hippies, who are more or less offshoots of Mayavada philosophy because they think themselves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such people do not respect the real followers of the Vedic principles, the ideal Brahmanas. So, there's a lot of information about the cleanliness. I'm going to touch a few points. Don't want to go over time. And then I'm going to speak about Tilaka. This is a letter from Prabhupada to Shivaram Das. It's a letter of initiation, 1975, December 7th. That's my mother's birthday, December 7th. Brahminical life means to be very, very clean, inside and out. Inside by chanting and hearing, and outside by bathing three times daily. If not possible, at least two times, but never less than once. Never less than one time. Bathing after passing stool is also required. So, I had a chance in my business. Sometimes we go to people's homes to fix their computer, homes and businesses. And one day I went to the home of a pastor. And I knew it was a pastor because on the phone when the wife told me, my husband is a pastor, she told me so. And I got there and I was supposed to fix three computers. I've never seen a house so dirty in my entire life. I've never seen that. It was shocking. There were plates of food with old food on the floor under the desk. Cans all over the, no, soda cans all over the place. It was like, I almost said, I cannot do it. I have to leave. But just to be polite, I stayed. So Prabhupada explains that somewhere here, that in the Western world, they don't know what is cleanliness. They don't know. And I have seen that. I was reading also research. Percentage of men that go to the bathroom, they don't wash their hands. It's like 70%. I remember when I was working in Manhattan and I had meetings. So at the beginning of every meeting, you have to shake people's hands. You know, it's just a tradition. So what I would do, I would shake everybody's hands and then I would say, I'm so sorry, I need 1 minute, I forgot something. And I would go to the bathroom and wash my hands. And sometimes I had 4 or 5 of these meetings a day. And every time I did this, because I said, this, folks, they don't wash their hands. And it's very contaminated. Yeah. I did wash. So there is no cleanliness. Yeah, they usually don't bathe. I was reading also some people just take a little towel and clean here and clean here, and they don't change the clothes every day, their dress every day. It's very nasty. It's a very nasty world out there. Prabhupada came to give us a completely new life, both clean outside and clean inside. A little more about the cleanliness. We should mark how dutiful Dhruva Maharaj was in his devotional service. This is from Purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 4.12.28. Even at the time he left this material world, he was constantly alert in the performance of devotional duties. Every devotee should take his bath early in the morning and decorate his body with tilaka. In Kali Yuga, one can hardly acquire gold or jeweled ornaments. Now we're starting about the topic of tilaka. But the 12 tilaka marks on the body are sufficient as auspicious decorations to purify the body. So we don't need gold. If we have tilaka, we'll be sufficient. That's Prabhupada masterfully putting on tilaka. He had really a lot of style. These are the 12 tilaka marks. Now, it's very interesting. I learned something here that I didn't know before. Those cows, referring to cows, in the group with tilaka marks on their foreheads are called Chitrita. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 35, verses 18 to 19. So there are cows that have tilaka marks on their head, and there's a specific group of cows, and they are called, that group is called Chitrita. And there is Chitrita Tilaka, Dirga Tilaka, and Tiryak Tilaka. And there are groups of cows known as Mridanga Mukhi, Mridanga Head, Singha Mukhi, Lion Head, and so on. So even the cows had tilakas. And it's described how Mother Yashoda and the other gopis, they would put tilaka all over their children's bodies after they bathed them. And I was looking again and again and again for 1 hour, and I could not find a picture of Srila Prabhupada without tilaka. All the pictures, I looked at hundreds of pictures, I could not find one that he didn't have tilaka. And Shruta Kirti said that every time the plane was about to land, Prabhupada would go to the bathroom, would put on fresh tilaka, would fix his dhoti nicely in his kurta to be ready, you know, to land. So Prabhupada was concerned about his appearance, not for sense gratification, but for the service of the Lord. Because people, they already see us as weird. They don't see us as normal people. You know? We have this, you know, cloth that goes this way, that way. They don't understand much. And if we are not presentable, you know, if we have long nails and the nails are dirty, and if we didn't shave properly, the hair is all... No, we're not groomed properly. You know? The feet is dirty with the sandal. No, they are not going to be attracted to us. Actually, you're going to chase them away. And Prabhupada, he was always dressed like, you know, a gentleman, and always... look at that. That's a wonderful picture. I love. Like transcendental aristocrat. Now, more about tilaka. This is from the Brahma Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Text 13, Stealing of Boys and Calves by Brahma. Thereafter, O Maharaj Parikshit, as required according to the scheduled round of his pastimes, Krishna returned in the evening, entered the house of each of the coward boys, and engaged exactly like the former boys, thus enlivening their mothers with transcendental pleasure. The mothers took care of the boys by massaging them with oil, bathing them, smearing their bodies with sandalwood pulp, decorating them with ornaments, chanting protective mantras, decorating their bodies with tilaka, and giving them food. So the mothers would do that. And then... Chaitanya Bhagavat. If one does not Chaitanya Bhagavata Adikanda 15.8. If one does not decorate his body with tilaka, he will incur sin. It's stated by Narada Muni in Padma Purana. If one performs sacrifice, gives in charity, undergoes austerity, studies the Vedas, or offers oblations to the forefathers without putting on tilaka, then all these activities will be useless. Actually, when I was working outside for many years, and one day Jayadvaita Swami stayed at my house for a few days, and I had this doubt in my mind. I told him, every day before I go to work, after I take a shower, I put on tilaka with water. Without water. Just put on tilaka without the actual tilaka. And I say the mantras. And he thought for a moment and he said, do it with water. He said, so he put tilaka on with water. So I've been doing from that time on. And actually just now, preparing to give this class, I learned something that I didn't know for the past, since 1976 when I joined. I always started putting tilak on starting here. Do you do that? Yeah. But then I read here that you start with the forehead. Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't know this before. That's the way they taught me. I don't think they knew either, so they didn't know in good faith. So it says here, continuing this, if a person does not decorate his body with tilaka, he is not to be seen, because his body is as impure as a crematorium. It's mentioned in the Aditya Purana, open quotes, a king should put a fallen brahmana whose body is devoid of Vaishnava marks of tilaka, conch, and chakra on the back of a donkey and drive him out of his kingdom. That's a funny one. Put the Brahman on the back of a donkey and just send him away, out of here. And then, it's stated in the Padma Purana, Uttarakanda, open quotes, a person who performs any activity like worshipping deities without putting on tilaka achieves no benefit. Achieves no benefit. There is no doubt about it. Know for certain that the person who performs sandhya without wearing tilaka is simply demoniac and surely goes to hell. Very strong. This is all in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then, in the narrations about the month of Kartika in the Skanda Purana, it is stated, open quote, one should not see a person whose forehead is not decorated with Vaishnava tilaka. If one happens to do so, he should immediately look at the sun, for Lord Hari and Lakshmi Devi reside within the tilaka. Close quotes. It's stated in the Padma Purana Uttarakanda, open quotes, marks of tilaka resembling the banyan leaf, a bamboo leaf, and the bud of a lotus are most enchanting. So, there's so much more. Actually, there's a lot of information about tilaka and bathing. But basically, Prabhupada wanted us to have tilaka. And as I said, I could not find a picture of Srila Prabhupada without tilaka. And bathing, he wanted us to be clean, very clean, inside and outside. When I joined the temple, was winter time, and we had to stay outside on a big line because there was one bathroom and about 30 people. And everybody has to be at Mongol Arctic on time. So you imagine how that was. And it was cold water. No, we would never take it. It was not allowed. Not allowed to take a hot water bath. And we didn't have money anyway to pay for the electric bill or gas bill. And it was like a big austerity. But everybody always said, but Prabhupada said, we do this. Prabhupada said, we do this. And then that was our, inspiration that we are going to do this because Prabhupada said. And at the beginning also, when you join the movement, you try to put tilaka, you know how it looks like. You know, it looks really horrible because you really don't get it right. It looks all crooked and it takes some time to get it right. And especially if you don't have Gopichandana, if you have to get some local clay that has a lot of sand. So that was our situation, because to get Gopichandana from India That was like, no, it wasn't going to happen. It was a big, big effort to bring Gopi Chandra from India. So we had to find some clay. So somebody found some clay, but it had a lot of sand on the clay. So when you apply tilaka, it would scratch your face. And then would fall off, would not stay. Or pieces of it would stay. And you look really strange doing sankirtan on the street with that. But you still had to stop people and sell books. So all these teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on this chapter, and now it's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts having the conversation about what is the ultimate goal of life, what's the most important thing in life. All these teachings of Ramananda Raya to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually, because here Ramananda Raya is teaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They reversed their position. Are most unique and relishable. This is one of my favorite chapter. Starting with the humble way that Ramananda Raya approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now that exemplifies the verse from the Bhagavad Gita that now you should approach a spiritual master in a very humble and submissive way. You know? So when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he could have everything to be proud of himself, everything. When you go to a place and there are 1,000 men with you and there are musical instruments and people playing songs for you, and you are carried on a palanquin and you are the governor of Madras and you are a personal associate of King Prataparudra, so you have everything to be proud of. Yeah. And still, he just threw himself on the floor like a rod and he said, I am a very low servant and I am from a Shudra community. So that's like so nice. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following that same mood, when he had the chance to speak, he said, and I am just a Mayavadi sannyasi. I'm not even a devotee, you know. And that's why Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sent me here. Perhaps I'm going to become a devotee after meeting with you, after having your association. I'm going to stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, if you have any questions or comments.
Why is it that the ladies like Radharani, Gopis, Lalita don't wear tilaka?
Ah, I don't know. Does anybody know?
Maybe they put on water tilaka.
I'm not going to speculate. We have to Google this one. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, anyway,
why the gopis don't wear tilaka?
No, I don't think that's right. Women put on tilaka in this kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
but in India also you see a lot of women with tilaka, even the non-devotees.
Right,
I've seen quite common. No,
yes. Yeah, I think we should check with an authority on that.
Yeah,
but anyway, Prabhu, I like your class very much.
Yeah, thank you.
But one particular, I remember I won't say where I was at. I was at a temple one time, and it was very short on pujaris. I mean, this one, there was actually two pujaris there, and they had to do basically everything, you know, waking the deities in the morning and all that. And then this.
Well, I've never seen a temple like that in my life.
Yeah, and this one particular devotee was sick too. Actually, he was suffering from illness. So anyway, I was there. So he had to use the washroom, and then he went right on the altar. So I was like surprised, you know. I said, "Wow," you know. I asked him, you know. I said, "That's just pretty, you know." But then I was thinking that there is certain situations where there's time, place, and circumstance.
Yeah.
One
time, Brahmananda stayed at my house, and actually more than once he stayed at my house in New York. And every time he came, I always was eager to get some nectar, you know, from him. So I On one occasion, I was asking him to please tell me something about Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada told me that Krishna consciousness is 10% faith and 90% common sense. So it's common sense, you know. I remember the very first time I went to the temple to sleep at the temple. No, I didn't know any of the rules or regulations. So I had only one, you know, set of clothes. I didn't have anything to change. So I slept with that. And when I woke up, you know, they told me to take a shower. But then somebody else heard and said, do you have another clean clothes? I said, I have this one. Oh, you cannot go to the temple because your clothes are not clean. And then another devotee heard and he said, well, it's better that you go with unclean clothes than not going. So you go like this. So he gave me a towel, I took a shower, put them on. So, you know.
Pratapuruja Maharaj, he was an aristocrat. But when he wanted to see Lord Chaitanya staunchly refused. But Ramananda Rai, he's not even a Kshatriya, he's not even an aristocracy, he's a Shudra. But without hesitation, Lord Chaitanya is approaching him and embracing him in front of all these people.
It's true. I had the same question in my mind. But Prabhupada explains in one of the purports that Ramananda Raya is an incarnation of the Gopi Vishaka. And the Gopi Vishaka is an intimate associate of Srimati Radharani. And when Lord Chaitanya saw Ramananda Raya, the feeling between Krishna and Vishaka was revived. And actually at the very beginning when he saw Ramananda Raya, his first thought, his mind, he says that his mind was running after Ramananda Raya and he wanted to embrace him. But he refrained himself. And when Ramananda Raya came and introduced himself, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and says that they almost fell on the floor unconscious at that embrace. And then they actually fell on the floor and had all symptoms of ecstasy, like paleness, tears, shivering, standing of the hair, paralysis. So I think King Pataparuddha wasn't in the same category as Ramananda Raya. That's the only thing I can say. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you said, he ignored everything. All the 1,000 people watching, it's difficult. We have 1,000 people watching and suddenly you fall on the floor and have all the symptoms. He ignored everything.
Okay. Back to our first question. Somebody asked, why didn't the gopis and Rat...
What?
Okay. I don't want to talk that loud. I have... Okay. The first question was, why didn't Radharani and the gopis have antilak? Now let's go back. How long ago was that? That was 5,000 years ago. Okay. At that time, the women did not wear tilak. When Lord Chaitanya inaugurated the Sankirtan movement 500 years ago, we started to break all these different rules and regulations that were held for 5,000 years, or longer, millions of years. Now, he's embracing a sudra.
What's the rules right out the window. What's going to happen next? That's your question.
Now we have...
That's why Lord Chaitanya is a Paramakaruna, you know, the most merciful.
Most merciful.
Most merciful. And what do you speak of Prabhupada? Prabhupada is even more merciful. You know? Because Prabhupada gave a chance to people that were below Shudra. Below Shudra. Any other question? That's why there's a. Just want to say this one pastime, and then I will finish. Because there was a god brother of Prabhupada. If somebody remembers the name, you can mention. Or we can also just not mention the name. That a devotee of Prabhupada offered him prasadam. And he declined, said no, that he could not eat food cooked by Malechus. No. Then after some time, he requested Prabhupada for a donation for his project. And Prabhupada wrote back saying that, you know, this money that I have is collected by the Malechus. I don't think you should have it. I don't think you should use this money. The Prabhupada is so smart. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.